supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
The New Horizons spacecraft left planet Earth in January 2006, and it's right on target to reach its next destination of node on New Year's Day, 2019. Let's check its progress with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, this is quite the journey.
I'd say it's quite the journey. You know, it was more than 3 billion miles from Earth out to Pluto to begin with. And to get to its next destination, an asteroid found fairly far out in what's called the Kuiper Belt, it's going to be another billion miles from Pluto to reach what's known as MU69.
How large is MU69?
Well, that's a great question. We're not really sure exactly how large it is. It's on the smaller side. It's a few tens of miles across. But astronomers aren't really certain about a lot of things about MU69, and there have been some efforts recently to try to define the parameters a little bit better.
Why was it then selected as a target? Is it one of the larger asteroids in that region?
It's not that it's one of the larger asteroids, but it is that it's an object that can tell us an awful lot about the early history of the solar system.
Not to get past ourselves, but are there destinations of note already lined up beyond MU69?
Not already lined up, but the spacecraft is still in good condition and could certainly continue on to another destination after that.
Still in communications with us?
Absolutely still in communication, still delivering data from Pluto. What's going to happen next for this spacecraft during its cruise out to MU69 is it's going to get a chance to take a break. Operators are going to shut the spacecraft down into a slumber stage and just let it sleep for most of its trip out to MU69. It's a well-deserved rest.
On this date in 1969, three heroes returned to planet Earth.
The Apollo 11 mission came to an end on this date in 1969. The astronauts had been out to the moon and back, and they were only outside on the surface for about 2.5 hours, and that was Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, who skipped around on the surface. They were very careful not to go too far away from the spacecraft while they were on the surface. And in fact, even before Aldrin got out of the lunar module to step out onto the surface, Neil Armstrong had been down on the surface of the moon for a few minutes and collected some rocks that he put into a sample bag that he then put into his thigh pocket on the exterior of his spacesuit, just in case, for whatever reason, they'd have to suddenly take off under emergency, he would have some rock samples to bring back to Earth.
And it was some 2 years later when Apollo 15 returned to the moon. Those astronauts spent far more time on the surface than Armstrong and Aldrin.
They did indeed spend a lot more time on the surface. You know, by the time the lunar missions were done in 1972, they had been able to spend 2.5 days on the surface of the moon, quite a bit of time, actually. But for these astronauts of Apollo 15, their most significant contribution during this fourth lunar landing mission was that they were the first to use a rover out on the surface. So this tremendously extended their range of exploration across the surface so that they could go out to visit adjacent craters and look around for other kinds of geologic evidence of the moon's origin. And indeed, samples brought back did tell us a tremendous amount more about the age of the moon and how the moon possibly came into existence.
Certainly not too soon to note that we are now merely 1 month out from a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity here in the United States.
This is the total solar eclipse that's going to take place on Monday, August 21st. Now, it won't be a total eclipse for those of us living in the northeastern portion of the United States, but you can get to a location where totality is visible. South Carolina is the closest state, a mere 12-hour drive.
How long is the show?
It really depends where you are in the United States to see this. It can run for up to 3.5 hours, depending where you are. Totality, though, for this particular eclipse maxes out at about 2 minutes 40 seconds. Some folks along the path of totality will see just over 2 minutes, like 2 minutes and 3 seconds, 2 minutes and 5 seconds.
Arguably less awe-inspiring, but no less noteworthy, what's available to be seen in the night sky in our region this week?
As it turns out, this is a great week to follow the developing phases of our moon. If we start watching tonight, there's a barely visible 1.5-day-old thin crescent that's following just behind the sun about an hour or so. You should see it near the western horizon at about 8:30 p.m. Now, this is going to be a very tough observation because the moon is only 36 hours old. What that means is that that crescent is going to be so thin, close enough to the horizon, that you may need binoculars to try to catch it at around 8:30 p.m. As you watch its progression, by Friday, it will be just above Jupiter at 8:30, and the other part is that on Saturday, it grows to a first quarter moon. Now, if you happen to catch it tonight or tomorrow night, one of the great things you'll be able to see is this phenomenon called Earthshine. As you look at the moon, you'll see the thinly illuminated crescent, but then just behind the crescent, you'll be able to see the sort of shadowy, silhouetted version, if you will, of the rest of the moon. Well, you can see the rest of the surface of the moon because sunlight reflecting up from Earth throws some light onto that portion of the moon that isn't illuminated directly by the sun and allows us to see the full remaining shape of the moon.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Fitz, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.